that I've got up in front of a group of people like this and been able to preach God's word, and I'm really excited for it. And I need to make mention that this, kind of what Steve said, this isn't, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. And so I've been praying pretty intently over the last couple of weeks preparing for this, and we came to John 15 about the vine and the branches. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So you can open up your Bible to John 15 as we're going to get there shortly. But I do want to introduce myself. So again, my name is Grant. Lee and Leslie are my in-laws. And when Steve said, you know, it's their house for, you know, Monday through Friday or Saturday or whatever. Now, this is God's house 24/7. So, Steve, I got to just call you. I don't know. I know. I hear you. I like the banter with Steve. So, a little background, just really quick. I won't get into my whole testimony, but I didn't grow up in the church. I was born and raised in Central Valley and two loving parents, two brothers. My childhood wasn't all that bad, right? And when I got a scholarship to play baseball at Azusa is where the Lord found me, and I accepted my life when I was 21. I didn't really know what that meant at all whatsoever. Truly kind of walking blindly, really. I didn't have anybody come alongside me and disciple me and show me what that truly meant to commit your life to Jesus. But I knew at that point in time I needed something, and there was a void in my heart that I was missing. And so I'm not going to get into the whole kind of the nuts and bolts of it all, but I struggled through the course of my walk until I realized that Jesus was truly all that I needed, that I didn't have to depend on acceptance from so-and-so, or didn't have to depend on like sports being my identity, or didn't have to depend on something else. That if I can come to the grips of realizing that Jesus was solely all I needed, then it kind of clicked with me. Like, okay, then that's when I truly made that commitment to Christ. And that was like years after the fact that I committed my life to Jesus. And so I struggled connecting myself or staying connected to the vine through the course of my walk. And some of you guys in this room can understand exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so, before we get into reading scripture, I think it's important to understand that God kind of uses his, Jesus has these I am statements in John, right? Mm-hmm. It's important to understand this because I feel like he's making it very clear to us as we read scripture to put himself on the same level as God. Because God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, as we know, are all the same. And so he makes it very clear back in Exodus 4:13, he says, I am, when he reveals himself to Moses. And we know this if we go back into the Old Testament. But also Jesus says this throughout John, and there's a couple of them, right, that I'm just going to talk about. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. We talked about this one last week. I am the way. And then I am the door. And he goes on to talk about these other I am statements. Well, the night before his death, Jesus reveals this to his disciples and says, I am the true vine. Mm-hmm. Guys, this, honestly, to be completely honest, this, I don't think I was ready when I said, you know, Billy, I'll take John 15, no problem. I don't think I was really ready for it. I don't think on some level, I don't know if I am still ready for it. Because this is pretty deep. It's pretty intense if we read it, and we're going to go through some of it together. So it's important to note that these statements that Christ is making is putting him on the same level, like as creator or savior, right? Or Lord, right? So he's making it very clear that he is God, that I am is a statement that he's making here. So let's open up our scripture to John 15. John 15, verses 1. We're going to read through 17. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do not. You can. You or if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in me, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My Father, or my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, to love each other. Let us pray. Father, Lord, Jesus, it is not about me. It is not about us. It is purely about you. Lord, let it be you who speaks today. Let it you be who penetrates the hearts of these people in here, Lord. That we'd walk out of this place completely changed. We would walk out just to stay attached to you, Jesus. Stay attached to the vine, Lord. That we would bear fruit, because we have no option but to bear fruit if we're attached to you, God. Lord, thank you so much for today. I pray for just the people here, Lord, and that they would be moved by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I love this passage because there's so much truth. Just as we read through Scripture, there's so much truth everywhere. But I love it because I truly feel like the sole purpose of this passage as followers of Christ is to stay connected to Jesus. Why? So that we could bear fruit. And I really think that is one of our biggest purposes in life, is so we can bear fruit for Christ. Not for us, not for our own glory, or not for our bragging rights, or whatever you want to call it, but to simply glorify Christ. That's it. That's what I think is really important. In that same breath, though, I think, to be honest, it kind of scares me as I'm reading through this. Because if I'm reflecting on my own walk with Jesus, I recognize at times in my life that whether it's be serving people, whether it be in my men's group on Tuesday, whether it be my relationship with my wife or my students, that if I'm sharing the gospel or not, whatever the case, the amazing opportunities I've had over the course of my life to lead people to the Lord, that literally, and you can agree with me here, that literally moments after doing such good things that I feel like is for God, that I find myself right back in the flesh. Mm. Like literally moments after that, I'll find myself right back in the flesh, thinking about things that aren't glorifying him, things that are not going to sustain eternally, right? Things that are selfish, things that will, honestly, if I'm like looking at my Creator, that I think that he wouldn't be pleased with. Anybody agree with me there?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to realize this, I tend to be the one like beating myself up quite a bit. And those who know me, you would agree that I tend to beat myself up. It's not because I feel like that God doesn't love me. It's because I feel like maybe it's my passion. I just want to please him so much that when I feel like I fail, I feel like I'm an idiot. I feel like I can't do it. Right? But we know that Jesus has already done the work for us, right?
Amen.
That we don't have to earn our way to salvation, that he's done that on the cross for us. And I got to keep reminding and disciplining myself every single day, right, as I wake up, to remind myself that this isn't something that is about me or something I can do. It's something that's already been done.
Yes.
And so for me, realizing that myself, even the best pastors in the world, right, are not immune to the struggle. We're all acceptable to this struggle of flesh until we return to our Savior, right? So even in the many things I would consider good, right? If you think about the things good in your life, right? Your family, your friends, whether you're serving in church, this opportunity that we get to do this home church together, it's pretty cool. Preaching, treating others great, that these things in itself are not the source of growth in your spiritual walk. It's not. The more things you put on your schedule, I'm doing this, that, and the other thing, it is not the source, guys, of true growth. The source, even the Pharisees, as you're reading through Scripture, even the Pharisees did things that would be considered good, right? He said they may do good things, but apart from Christ, it's absolutely nothing. They're just works. They're just works. And so as we're looking at this, and as I'm reading through this, I'm clearly Scripture says that we cannot earn our way. Mm-hmm. The only source to spiritual growth in our life isn't something that we can do. It's a person, and that person's Jesus. And I don't know if sometimes we get caught up in those opportunities or caught up in those moments of thinking that we can earn our way. But if you're anything like me, right, I've been there. Where it's like, I got to earn my way. I get back to this legalistic thing of like checking the box off when I know for a fact that God has already done the good work, right? That all I need to do is stay attached to that vine, and we're going to get there. But the purpose of the sermon for me as I'm reading through Scripture and as I'm studying for this thing is that I found that these cool verses in Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10. And I'm going to read it, and it really kind of hits home at the, towards the end of this passage here, so I'm going to read it anyways. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I'm going to read that last one again. It says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. The first time I read that, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. The second time I read that, I'm like, are you serious? There is no possible way on my own strength can I ever accomplish something like this. I don't know, have you guys, when you're reading that, that's what spoke to my heart. I'm like, I cannot possibly live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every single way, because the Lord knows my life, he knows the things that I've done, right? Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, there's no way I can attack that and accomplish that on my own strength. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. And so I started realizing this, that if I'm going through and I'm reading through Scripture, and I was like, all right, if I can take in the entire New Testament, write everything down that I'm supposed to do, right, or everything down that in my own ability, right, okay, I can do this, even if I had that opportunity to do that and the time to do that, right, I would end up at the end of every single day exhausted, frustrated, and angry, because I'm like, there's no possible way I can do these things. And then I realized, this isn't a job for me. This is a God job. Mm-hmm. And only God can do these things. Only God can accomplish these things through us.
Amen.
If you truly, truly have given yourself to the Lord, your heart is transformed. He has done open heart surgery on your heart. He has put a new heart in you. Your life is transformed. Therefore, you are doing his will and doing the things that he's called you to do, not you doing them. God is doing them. The Holy Spirit is doing them. That's the only possible way, as I'm looking at this verse, that I can live a life worthy of the Lord, is because God is doing it for me.
Amen.
And it's something that I have to remind myself constantly. So, Jesus, let's go back to the text. Jesus is our only source of strength. That's it. It's our only source of strength. Okay, at the end of the time, when judgment comes, he's going to tear down everything else that we think is good. Right? Everything that we plug ourselves into that we think, oh, this is okay. No, Jesus is the only source of strength in our life. The first statement Jesus makes in this passage, so if we're going back to John, right, it says, I am the true vine. What does this mean? Well, let's make sure we understand what this doesn't mean first. And I started writing this down. Well, this doesn't mean I am like a vine. This doesn't mean I'm going to be a vine. Or in this world that we live in, right? It doesn't mean I hope that you will take me as a vine one day. No, what he says is I am the vine. I don't know about you guys, like I teach, right? So some of my students are here right now. And this, like, we're seeing like a culture shift to where everybody has their own truths, right? Where it's okay to believe this because this works for you. And it's okay to believe this, but this works for you. No problem. Like, Mr. Byer, you're a Christian. If that works for your life, that's great. No problem. No. What he's saying here, guys, that he's not like a vine. He's not going to be a vine. He is the true vine. And if we understand what that really means, we would want to stay attached to that all the days of our life. And so I'm going to explain, kind of go break this down a little bit. It says, I am the vine. Jesus is it. This is the reality. He's consistent. We are inconsistent in our life and our own strength. Mm-hmm. He is consistent in our life. He is the source of all spiritual growth, all spiritual grace, all spiritual life and truth. Jesus. All things that are good, okay? All things that are possibly good for his glory doesn't come from us, comes from Jesus. Jesus is the source. So when we're looking at, I don't know, I get caught up in this too, so I'm going to explain this real fast. That, how many of you guys feel like, or if I just stay more devoted, right? If I just dedicate myself a little bit more, or if I work just a little bit harder, Jesus will see me differently. You guys feel me there?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, Jesus is the source. He is the source of anything and everything that will ever be godlike in you. Not by your own strength, not by your own power, not by your own doing. It's Jesus. So if you're going to reflect Christ, it's because God is doing that, not because you. Okay? Jesus is the source of life and fruit. So it's important to understand that. You cannot have life and fruit separately. They must go together. Life and fruit go together. You can't have one without the other. All fruit flows naturally from life. And if the true vine, if Jesus is the true vine, fruit will flow naturally from you as the branch. And we'll talk about this here in a second. Jesus Christ will produce the fruit. And I heard this somewhere, and I think this is kind of cool. And I think it's got some truth there. It says, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ living his life through you. I'm going to say that again. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ living his life through you. Would you guys agree with me there?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, it's all about Jesus. And I'm reading this passage. I'm like, this. It's all about him. He's reminding me it's all about him. It's not about me. So it's important also for this to be said that we need to recognize that Jesus is indispensable. Yeah. And apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. It says it in Scripture plenty of times. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Jesus, and this is true in our culture today, is not and cannot be an accessory in our life. Guys, I can't say that enough. And I'm saying this because I feel like I'm the most appropriate person to be up here because I struggle with this probably more than most people. But Jesus can't be an accessory in our life. You can't be, okay, you have this and that, but you just need Jesus. You can't be that. It cannot be that. If we truly want to stay connected and we truly call ourselves believers, he has to be the main priority in our life. So as I'm looking at this passage, I'm looking at at times in my life, early on as a Christian, I'd be bold and courageous to share the gospel, right, with people. And there's some seasons where I don't feel that way. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's seasons where, like, all right, I'll go share the gospel, and I don't care at all whatsoever what this person says about me. But then there's some times I'm like, oh, I'm not sure, right? I'm not sure if I can do this. I remember early on when the Lord found me at Azusa, I would go and talk to people about Christ, and I'm like, you know, hey, I have these conversations with them, and they seem like a good person because they seem to have a lot of things going for them, like nice cars, a nice home, good family, good spouse, whatever the case is. And so all I would say, like, they're not a Christian. They don't say they're a Christian, right? I'm like, okay, you have a lot of things going for you, but you just need to complete your life. You just need Jesus. That would complete your life. guys, there's a problem with that statement. And I would be safe to say this, we have no life if we don't have Jesus. Well, let that sit for a second. We have no life unless we have Jesus. So it's not like we can't use Jesus as an accessory in our life. Okay, he is our life, and if we don't have him, we have no life. So let's look at what Paul says. Paul says, I don't know anyone anymore by the flesh. But all he's concerned about is what Christ says. And who do you have Christ or no Christ? Right? Guys, we need to move away from this thought process that we are the source of our fruitfulness. Anybody ever feel that before? Do you feel like you're the source of your own fruitfulness? Right? Fruit only comes from Christ. Another thing this text teaches us is that we must resist our pride that comes with experiencing fruitfulness. Anybody ever experience fruitfulness and start thinking, oh, this may be a little bit about me, right? Oh, look at me, look what I did, right? So I heard this somewhere too, and I was like, this is pretty cool. Experiencing some progress in your Christian faith can potentially be dangerous. What are you talking about? What do you mean? If pride enters in, like I'll give you a story. Like early on in my Christian walk, I was having some progress, some success with sharing the gospel. There was one time when I was at Heritage early on in my teaching career that there's a couple of students that would stick around a little bit. We'd just chat openly about my faith and their faith. They weren't believers, and this over the course of time. They started asking questions, and we started answering those questions, talking a little about Jesus. Well, I got an opportunity to lead these kids to the Lord in my classroom. It was really cool, right? But then I can remember, like, stepping out and started thinking, wow, okay, look at me, Mr. Byron, who's next? Right? You know what I mean? It's like this pride, like I had anything to do with this. I had nothing to do with this, and I started to think about this, like, what am I doing? Like, so you start to think about, okay, I can do this. All right, you next. Come on. We can bring you to the Lord. Come on. Come on. Right? It's not about me. And it's not about us. It's about what Jesus is doing in our life. So pride can sometimes be, can hinder our progress. But if we allow that pride to kind of settle in, it can be dangerous to our walk. So, So in 1 Corinthians 4:7, let me explain a couple of things. It says, For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? And so he's talking to a gifted church here. And what he's saying basically is your abilities, your gifts, everything that you do good for the glory of God comes from Jesus, and it doesn't come from us. And if it comes from Jesus, how could we possibly boast about me? How could we possibly boast about somebody else? Why can't we boast about Christ? And that's what it should be about. All fruit that comes from Jesus is holy. All fruit that comes from Jesus is righteous. So when we're bearing fruit that glorifies Christ, we're bearing fruit that will always be holy and always be righteous. So if you have your Bible, turn to James 3:11 or chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Here, I'm going to read this. It says, and this is interesting to me, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt bring or spring produce fresh water. So this is where I get caught up in my own walk with Christ, is that if I'm depending on my own walk for the things that I do, the efforts and the things that I do for myself, if I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick up myself by my bootstraps, I'm going to go take care of business today. If I'm depending on that every day to accomplish the things for Jesus, then I'm going to end up every single day being inconsistent. And because... why is that? Because honestly, by our own strength, we are all inconsistent. We can try as hard as we want, but we're going to end up, at the end of the day, frustrated if we're doing it on our own strength. So let me explain this in a story. So I have a story for you guys. When I was in college, again, I'm reverting to my college days because I don't think I knew a lot. You guys remember, like, for those who have accepted Christ in their life, and for those who Jesus chose you, hopefully that's everybody in here, but it may not be. For those who Jesus have chose, you guys remember early in your walk, you feel like you're on like cloud nine, you can do whatever, you could just do everything. You guys feel that? I felt that, but I didn't want to let go of the world either. What I mean by that is, Monday through Friday, I'd be putting on a good game face for Jesus. And I would be out there like being a good Christian. And then Saturday, I'd go get hammered. Mm-hmm. Or I'd hang out with my boys and we'd do stupid things, make fun of people, right? Do those things. Like trying to get a good laugh. Like my own strength, I'm inconsistent. I can't depend on myself to be a better believer or be a better Christian because it's not about me. At the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And the only way we can truly fulfill that is if we let ourselves die. And if God takes over. Right? So for me, if you depend on Christ and you are connected to the vine, and that is Jesus, and he's flowing through you, the fruit that comes from that does not waver. It does not waver. He is the pure source. Don't you guys want to bear consistent fruit? Yeah, man, let's be real. Do you guys want to bear consistent fruit? Mm-hmm. I mean, I do. Yeah. And I struggle with that. I'm going to be real. I want to. I want to be consistent for God. But I need to remove myself every day if that's going to even be possible. Ephesians 5:9 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Don't you guys want that? Mm-hmm. Let me read that again. For you were once darkness, but now you are in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Mm-hmm. Don't you guys want that? I do. I don't want that just for our church. I want that for the places and the areas of my life that is the most difficult to reach people and to share the gospel. And for me, that's my own family. That's my own immediate family. Mm-hmm. And I know some of that. I know that that's with you guys. Some of you guys may be like, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. But like I've been praying for my dad for I don't know how many years, but one day, hopefully, Lord willing, will he accept Christ as his Savior. And it's hard. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's hard to be that example for Jesus with your own family. Why? Because they know what you are like. They know kind of your tendencies. They know the things that you've done or whatever the case is. Even like, I'm not the same person anymore. It's still hard. It's still hard. And sometimes it won't be me. It might not be me. It might be somebody else. I'm just praying. I don't care if it's me. But I want my family and members of my family, because I love them and I care for them, I want them to know Jesus. But I want them to experience Christ like I've experienced Jesus. And so sometimes that's hard for me. I want that, but it's hard. So in Philippians, I'm going to go through a couple of verses here to kind of show some of these things. So Philippians 1, 11 says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Our fruit is not for us. It's for Jesus. The fruit that we bear isn't for us. It's for Jesus. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no loss. Don't you guys want to be like that? Mm-hmm. If we truly, truly want to be like that, and this is something I have to ask myself every day, we must abandon all hope in ourselves. And we must run to Jesus every day. And that is something that I pray for pretty frequently. Lord, remove myself because I'm an idiot. So there are a ton of sources, because we talk about the true vine being the source. Jesus is the source. But in our life, if you think about it, in our life there are plenty of sources that we can plug into, right? Think about, okay, especially with my students, I'm looking at my students, everyone's got their phone out, right? Social media can be a source. Sports can be a source. Music can be a source. Friends, family, all stuff can be a source that we plug into, right? Even in our own Christian walk, right? When we're like, I don't know about, I was talking to some colleagues and friends, like, even in our own Christian bookstores, like, there's the five steps to Jesus, or there's this, that, and the other thing to grow closer to God. There's all these things, kind of like these sources we can plug into. Even like a new system or a new style, or even a preacher that we really like. And I'm victim of this. I really like this preacher, so I'm going to keep listening to him, right? But eventually you'll end up frustrated, unplugged. Right, Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." So I was listening to a pastor the other day talk about his mentor pastor who lives in India. And this guy called this guy and said, it was crying in tears, bawling. And he's like, well, what's going on? And he said, he was crying over another pastor in the United States who had fallen due to some moral issues. And he says, I really just truly believe that, and he says, your people, he's talking about the Americans, talking about our churches, that we are okay with just going to Moses when we have the ability to go up that mountain and be with Jesus. And when I'm talking about even our sources, like we plug into pastors and we get things from different people and we get filled in different ways. You guys, and I'm learning this too, because I'm a victim of this, but we have the ability to go be with the true source, with Jesus. We don't have to just go to Moses. Isn't that pretty interesting to think about? So I find it fitting that I'm up here again. I was telling you about this earlier, because I think I struggle with this the most. I struggle with drawing from strength in other areas of my life that's not the true source. I struggle, like I was telling you, I feel like I'm doing something that God has called me to do, and the next breath, literally, I'm doing something stupid. Like I'm in my own flesh, and my wife would attest to that. She's back there laughing at me. But Jesus is the true vine, and all other vines are corrupt, bottom line. Deuteronomy 32:32 says, their vine comes from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are filled with poison and their clusters with bitterness. So every other source that we draw strength from or try to draw strength from will bear bitter fruit. The only fruit that will sustain, that will be worthy enough, is that if we're drawing from the vine, the true source that is Jesus. How many of you guys, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you guys find yourself drawing from a different source? Man, it sucks, huh? All right, let's go back to the text. You're like, we have only got through one verse. No, that's good. John 15:2 says, or to finish one and go into two. This is one of my favorite parts. Ooh, this is my favorite part. It says, and my Father is the vine dresser. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Okay, so full disclosure, I'm kind of dumb. Right, when it comes, you're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I'm just not like the best, like when I read, like comprehend, like I'm just not the best at that. And I like when it comes to learning, I need to read something like 6,000 times in order to understand like the first sentence. That's just me. So like putting this together, it took me a lot longer than maybe most people, like you intellectuals out there. I'm looking at Ryan because this guy's like a physicist, right? So it just takes me a lot longer to do certain things, especially when I'm putting things together. Just not, it's more difficult for me. So one thing that I've learned here that I thought was really cool is that in the ancient world, I'm like even cool saying this, I'm like, wow, I learned something, that's pretty sweet. In the ancient world, vine dressers were extremely important. So even when the nation of Israel was exiled into other nations, like the pagan leaders at the time that were over the exiles, would leave the vine dressers in Israel to tend to the vines. I thought that was really cool. Why? Why is that the case? Because the vines and the vineyards were extremely important. It was the source at that time for food, for living, right? Otherwise, they'd be lost. Right? They would, anybody have experience with like a vineyard, or you guys are a couple people, right? So vine dressers are extremely important, right? So it even says in scripture in Jeremiah 52:16, it says, they would leave behind the rest of the poorest people of the land to work the vineyards and the fields. So things just didn't grow without the vine dresser tending to the vine and tending to the vineyard. How many of you guys ever get frustrated? Just show me your hands. You get frustrated at stuff. How many of you guys ever get angry or mad or upset or you're like, shoot, uncomfortable, right? How many of you guys, and let's be honest with yourself, you don't need to raise your hand here, but how many of you guys get frustrated and angry or feel like you're uncomfortable, like this can't be God's work? Mm. This has to be from the devil because I'm uncomfortable. I'm frustrated. I'm being stretched here. This cannot be from God. I've been there. But guys, listen, check this out. In God's vineyard, He is the one pruning us. He is the one cutting at us. He is cleansing us. Have you ever stopped to think, when things get difficult or hard or uncomfortable, that Jesus just might be the one pruning you and cutting you back so that you can grow even more fruit to glorify Him? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, sometimes I'm an idiot and I'm like, I probably shouldn't say idiot and dumb and things like that. I've been saying that quite a bit up here. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm not polished enough. I don't really care. I'm just like, oh gosh, you know, I'm thinking to myself, sometimes I blame my circumstances. You know, man, this can't be of God. This can't be you. Maybe He's pruning me back so I can grow more fruit for Him. So this might be crazy. So we're looking at this. Jesus works all things for good. We know this. But good may look different than you think. Good isn't that so that we can be more respected in life. Good isn't so that we can make more money and live a more lavish lifestyle. Good isn't so that we can die one day and somebody may, hey, I want to write a book about this guy because this guy was so good. He lived a great life. What good is to be more like Jesus and to look more like Jesus. That is what is good at the end of the day, right? That is what is good. And this might even be crazy, and I'm going to say it anyways. Okay, it might be a little extreme, but I tend to say some extreme things from time to time. But being more like Jesus and looking more like Jesus is so important that you could honestly argue to hell with everything else. Let that sit for a while. I mean, some of you are like, I love my family and I love the people around me. I'm not saying that that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that looking more like Jesus should be the most important thing in our life. So sometimes if you're like me, we have these alternative motives, the things that we do. In my life, I know this is the case. But reflect on your life for a second. What is your greatest privilege? What is your greatest privilege in life? Is it to be a better husband? Is it to be a better wife? To be a better son or daughter or mom or dad? To be a good neighbor? Honestly, I think the greatest privilege in life is to look like Jesus. That's the best privilege in our life. I don't know if you guys would agree with me. But amen if you do, huh? So let's go back to the text. It says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. What does this mean? And this is, man, I can't sugarcoat this because this is what it says. There are going to be people, men and women, old and young, in every congregation, that identify with the people of God and that are unbelieving, and then when they die, they're going to go to hell. That's what that means. Unless I'm completely misinterpreting it. That's what that means. So what does this mean for us? This is all the more important thing for us as believers to love each other, to when prompted by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with people, to reach people. I was talking to Ryan about this a few weeks ago, and he mentioned this, and I thought this was really cool. How much do you have to hate someone not to share the best news possible with them? Let that sit for a second. How much do you have to hate somebody to not share the gospel with them? So when we're looking at salvation, we're looking at salvation, believing in Jesus, not believing in Jesus plus good works. Okay? Salvation is believing in Jesus. Okay? Even if when you believe in Jesus, and it means that when you believe in him, okay, and you truly believe in God, and you've accepted Christ in your heart, and he's transformed your heart, that good works have to come. They have to come. It's impossible for it not. Just like a sinner must sin, a righteous person must do righteously. Right? Wouldn't you agree? So, for me, it doesn't matter, guys, how good of people we are. It doesn't matter how great our church experience is. This is all great. Don't get me wrong. This is fun that we're doing this home church stuff and that we might become a church. How great our worship is. Not me, but maybe the other guys. Right? How good our theology. It doesn't matter. Okay, at the end of the day, in judgment, God's going to tear that down and just leave us with Jesus. That's what matters the most, is Jesus. So as God judges the branches that bears no fruit, he also disciplines the branch that does bear fruit. Okay, we have to make a decision. Do we want to be comfortable, or do we truly want to be more like Jesus and look more like Jesus? Yeah. That's a big decision, don't you think? Do we want to be more like Jesus, or do we want to be comfortable? And trust me, when I'm saying these things, I don't have these figured out. Okay. Is our greatest passion is to produce the character of Christ? If this is our greatest passion, then this might cost us everything. It truly might cost us everything. But if everything is worth it, bearing fruit to glorify Christ should be the most important thing in our life. So, as you guys know, I played baseball. Some of you may know, some of you may not. I played baseball growing up my whole life until college. And since I was 5 or 6 years old, I remember training almost every single day, right? Because all I cared about was baseball. That was like my identity. All I cared about was baseball. So I worked out in the morning, go to practice, worked out even after school, do more ground balls. You know, it didn't get me to the big league, so I'm like thinking, what the heck was all the work for? No, I'm just kidding. But I used to work and discipline myself to train myself to be a better athlete, to be a better baseball player. And I'm not saying I was the best baseball player, because I'm not, but I was the best that I could possibly be because I trained and I disciplined myself. How many of you guys in life, like, you discipline yourself in such a way where you become better at whatever it is that you're trying to pursue? How many of you guys have done that before? Mm-hmm. Right? I remember, I'm going to share a little story about my wife. My wife wanted to run a marathon. This was a few years back. And so she would dedicate days and weekends and hours to run. At the time, I'm like, you're crazy. I still think she's a little crazy for doing that, but I saw the outcome. The outcome was that she ran this full marathon. Woo-hoo. I'm like, holy smokes, I'll drive the marathon. I'm not sure if I'll run it. But the same to be said about how Jesus disciplines us. The prize of pursuing a life, being disciplined by our Creator, is to be conformed to look more like Jesus. So the prize for me to discipline myself and train to be a better baseball player is to play college baseball and to be as good as I can get, or to run a half marathon. But truly disciplining ourselves and having God, our Creator, discipline us is to be conformed and look more like Him. Don't you guys want that? Man. Discipline doesn't cause branches to bear fruit, but it shapes and positions us to bear fruit. If you're a believer, you're going to bear fruit. It's impossible. You have no option if you stay connected to the vine. Because you don't do a dang thing. You just stay connected to the vine. You listen when God calls you to do something. Sometimes this makes this can be a long process. When you think about Abraham, right? How long that process was, right? For him to see that fruit. We've got to be patient. Sometimes I can get caught up in that mindset of, I got to do more for Jesus. Anybody been there? I gotta do more. Instead of thinking, I just gotta be more. going to be more like Jesus? How can I be more like Jesus today? As opposed to, what do I need to do more for him? So why does he discipline us? Simply, so we can bear more fruit. Do you guys struggle with that a little bit? I sometimes struggle with it because I think about it. If I'm like doing, I really don't believe that I should or I want to bear more fruit than God has in store for me. I don't want to bear more fruit than God has in store for me. So I need to be patient about this and realize that salvation and my walk with Christ is a daily surrender and a daily repentance. We're wrapping up here. So the bottom line here is that the branch grows out of the vine. It's 100% a work of the vine. A branch doesn't grow into the vine, it grows out of the vine. We are branches, creation of the vine, with one sole purpose, to be what we are, a fruitful bearing branch, to abide in the vine, is to recognize that his supernatural work has been done by you, or by Jesus, and to simply stay in that. Seems pretty simple enough. I say that, I'm like, it's not that simple. But it's not doing something but recognizing what Jesus has already done. He's died on the cross for you and me. He's resurrected so that we can believe in him and that the Holy Spirit would reside in us and that we would stay attached to the one true source and the one true vine and that we'd bear much fruit. Mm-hmm. So I want to connect this to Romans 6:6 because I think it's important. So Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from this, from sin." You guys, for those of you who have claimed yourself to be believers and that God has chosen you, it is impossible for us to go back and be made for sin. We're not made for sin. We struggle, I get that, but we're not made for sin. We're a new creation. We're made to bear fruit for Jesus. We're remade. And I'm going to end this at the very end of John 15, and I have a story, and I just, my wife and I were talking about this yesterday, and we were both in tears because we were reliving this. John 15, 16, verse 17 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, to love each other." Some of you guys know that my wife and I just had our first child almost 9 months ago. And you see him roaming around here with big, like, lipstick marks on his face. But I remember the days leading up to his birth. I was excited. I was nervous. I was excited. I'm like, how am I going to be a dad? All these things. Right? But more so, I was nervous because I see my wife. I mean, she's carrying around this baby in her stomach, and I'm like, I don't know what this feels like. How can I help you? I don't know what's going on. Well, I do know what's going on, but I'm like, how can I help? What can I do? I remember leading up to the day. He came 2 weeks early, so he didn't give us the 2 weeks that we wanted. Dang it! No, I'm just kidding. We're in the room at Kaiser, and She's got a fast forward. She's got her epidural shot, so she's feeling good. Right? Before, not so much, but she's feeling good. And I remember it's like 7 o'clock, 7:30 comes around, 8 o'clock. He was born at 9, so we're getting closer, right? And so I'm up here, like, you can envision what the room looks like. But my wife's here. I'm like by her side, like, okay, how you doing? How you feeling? And I look around, and in the room, there's like 20 or 30 of our family members. I'm not sure if I always recommend that for you, but it worked for us. So it was cool. It was really cool to have everybody there. So I'm like, oh, what can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? And then she's just like, okay, just we talk it through. And then there was a little bit of a scare there, and then there wasn't a scare. I'm like, it all blends now at this point. But then the doctor was there, and it's like 8:45, 8:50, 9 o'clock. And then we didn't know we were going to have a boy or girl at the time. So we're like waiting to see if he or she is born. And then the doctor said, "You, Grant, get to announce if it's a boy or girl." I'm like, okay, cool. I was like, I guess that's fun for me, right? And so my poor wife is like struggling over here. I'm like, I guess I get to announce. That's fine. So the baby comes out, and the doctor like brings the baby up, and all like, and I, this is vivid as it was yesterday. All I remember doing is putting my hands in the air, just screaming, "It's a boy!" And then the tears came, the tears on my wife's face, the tears all around the room. It's a boy. And when I'm reading the story and I'm thinking about Jesus, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And so when God chooses you, I can't imagine but think about that visual image. Grant. Mm-hmm. You're mine. Mm-hmm. And I just...
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. So, let's pray. Let's be done. Father, Lord, just thank